Joe, let's start with the news today on the Red Sox, though, and Pablo Sandoval designated for assignment. It's easy to be a revisionist historian. I thought when they made this move, it was a pretty good one at the time.
Well, he had good postseason numbers. You look at his regular season, they were pretty pedestrian. And it's a deal that didn't work out, but it's tip of the cap to ownership and management for not letting him clog up a roster space for the next year and a half.
Absolutely. It's been at times an up-and-down season, but the team played very good ball heading into the All-Star break and find themselves in an excellent position in first place starting the second half.
Well, to have a three-and-a-half-game lead certainly is very encouraging, and you certainly would have taken that at the beginning of the season without a doubt. And I think it's a big deal that they do have that lead. The Yankees have been going backwards. Of course, the Yankees have had a lot of injuries, and they're going to get people back, so you can't take anything for granted. There are still some needs. I think you always have to fortify the bullpen, and right now it doesn't look like Carson Smith is going to be the guy with his shoulder issues. But I think that'll be the first priority at third base, of course. So remains a question whether you go with the two young guys as a platoon, and then hope Brock Holt comes back and contribute, or you go out and rent a Todd Frazier for a couple of months.
Well, Joe, we're remembering the 1967 Red Sox season, such a memorable time. You know the team's history so very well. What does that 67 team mean in the big picture of Red Sox history?
It's the most important year, Rich, I think, in Red Sox history, because this was a moribund franchise. I mean, Fenway Park was a disaster. The ball club was terrible. They drew 500,000, 600,000 fans. You know, they dropped the 50s. They were pretty bad, and they did have Ted. And then, of course, Yaz came along, and he wasn't quite the same attraction. But I think he was about all they had. So I think you really have to look at that and realize that this club might have been in big trouble. In fact, if the Braves had stayed a couple of more years, it might have been the Red Sox who left town.
Mm.
The Braves had Eddie Matthews, they had Hank Aaron, Lawrence Bond. That's one of the top 10 teams, Red Sox, in baseball history, those Braves teams from, say, 1956 through 59. So that's why 67 was so important. I mean, the Red Sox came along, and the impossible dream, and it really ignited the franchise.
Yaz had such a great year with the Triple Crown, but the numbers don't begin to tell the story. And we know what David Ortiz did in those so-called clutch situations, but can you recall anybody having that kind of success in pressure situations that Yaz had throughout that 67 campaign?
Only Ortiz. I think Cincinnati fans might look at Tony Perez in his prime, but it was uncanny what he did. 4-for-4 in the final game. I mean, to win the Triple Crown, and everything that Carl did was just in the spotlight. One of the great pennant races, a four-team race, right down to the wire. Till after actually the last game for the Red Sox was completed, because they had to wait around to see if the Tigers lost to the Angels or whether they had a playoff. So it brought the franchise back. It woke them up, and it's continued ever since.
And when you look at any successful team, there are always role players that have outstanding years and fill those key positions. And I look back at guys like Jose Santiago, Lee Stang, Dalton Jones, Mike Andrews, guys who really had unexpectedly good seasons.
Yeah, Mike Andrews was a young player. He'd come up the year before and been a shortstop in the minors. Second base, remember, Reggie Smith started opening day. And Mike came on, won the job, and had some big hits and solidified the infield along with his buddy Rico Petrocelli. And those two later became a great team with the Jimmy Fund together in their post-playing careers. So Santiago came from Kansas City. He wasn't a huge winner. And he ends up starting first game of the World Series and loses 2-1. Hits a home run off Gibson. And, of course, Lee Stang. There were just so many unsung guys. Jerry Adair was a big factor.
Mm.
with key hits. And when you win, you have to have contributions like that from people of that ilk.
No team likely as important as the 04 championship team that broke the long streak, but is that 67 team maybe as high as number two on the list, at least in modern history?
Oh, I think so. And, you know, you might even put it up there in some ways over 04 because that's where it started. I mean, it might not have been a Boston Red Sox franchise had it not been for 67 the way they were going from, say, the mid-50s through the mid-60s. But no question about it, Rich. This was such a pivotal year. And, of course, I wasn't in Boston at the time. I was a college student. First game I ever saw was at Fenway Park in 1967. August of that year, I stood in the center field bleachers, which actually were bleachers. They were bench seats. And that was the first time I'd ever gone to Fenway. I remember the Red Sox lost that night to the Washington Senators, despite a Yaz homer. And that was quite a thrill. And it's all taken off from there. But when I came to Boston, I mean, Ken Coleman, loved that team. He was the impossible dream record, and Ken talked about it constantly. And that really ingrained in me how important that year was.
Well, Joe, we appreciate, as always, you making time for us. Have a great broadcast tonight. We'll be listening, and we'll talk with you again very soon.
Okay, Rich. Thanks so much.